Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Verses 1 to 13, Genesis chapter 1. Thank you, Father, once again, for the wonderful and the powerful and the mighty story of creation. Thank you for the fact that you and your mercy and grace introduce us to the wonderful book, your word, the book we call the Bible. You introduce your book to us by telling us the wonderful and powerful story of creation in Genesis. Father, more and more help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us all to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you so much for Genesis and for how you introduce yourself to us. Father, I know that you are Lord. I know that you're King. I know that what you say, it happens. And Father, I ask that you teach us more about what that means. Father, I know that in our own lives, we often go and rebel. And Father, I know that the way we were made to be, we were made to be in your kingdom under your rule. So Father, I just want to know more about that. Thank you so much, Father, for teaching us and for guiding us and for loving us so well. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we often do, we share resource articles for discipleship purposes. We're encouraging you to email us, get copies of them for you to use in your personal walk with the Lord, also to use as tools to disciple your family, and tools to share and forward by way of email to fellow church members, fellow workers, individuals you may know, saved and unsaved individuals as well. Here's an article entitled, "The High Priority of Discipling Our Children." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 7. Then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Parents care their children in their hearts. Their children are very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every area of life. A very important truth for all parents to be mindful of is that the best we can give to our children is Jesus. The greatest gift that they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is eternal life. So, as parents, we're very wise to do all we can to help and encourage our children to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Once our child is saved, it is one of the great responsibilities of Christian parents to disciple our children. It's our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and lifestyle. Why is this so important? First of all, we're commanded to make disciples. See Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And this is a very important calling, and this very important calling is to start with ourselves and then move directly to our families, our spouses, and children. So in considering the great responsibility of discipling our children, just what are some steps or practical, quote-unquote, building blocks we are to put to use? What are things we can do to effectively and practically carry out the important responsibility of making disciples within our homes? Let's consider a few things parents can do to help their children to begin to grow up in the Lord. The following are some practical things, ideas, and suggestions Christian parents can do to help and encourage their children to come to know the Lord and to grow in their faith as well. One, pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them daily and allow them to lead sometimes. Pray Psalm 91 daily with them also. Allow them to hear you call their name in prayer every day. Give your children incentives to memorize and learn Bible-based prayers. Next, have your child read no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God daily out loud to you. You can find shorter chapters, certain psalms, or simply select a given passage for younger children. For children who do not yet know how to read, let them repeat short chapters or passages after you. Some of those could include Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, and several others. Ask your child questions about what is read. What are 2 or 3 important things he or she heard or picked up from what they read? What stood out? Next, teach your children to obey the Word of God. Teach them to be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only. See James 1:22. Next, teach your children the meaning of each of the 10 commandments and have them memorize the 10 commandments as well. Teach them to pray the 10 commandments every day for the church and for our nation. Also, parents, it's very important for us to recognize this reality. Someone or something will disciple your child one way or another. In other words, certain people or things will capture your child's attention, interest, and or heart in this world. Some of these things or entities are individuals. Some of them are celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they quote-unquote meet in chat rooms, etc. Some topics that they come across on the internet may captivate them and their mind and their interest. And yes, these things can help to begin to quote-unquote disciple them after those issues. Some of these things can begin to mold the thoughts the thoughts of our children, their thinking and their perspectives about life and the world, and in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often the results can be tragic. Consider sad incidents that you hear of too often in the news today in our culture. Some of these following news stories are true news stories. They include a teenage boy who was shot and killed by an individual as he tried to run away after stealing something out of a store. Another, an elementary age children attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. Another news story, young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. Another news story, three young girls went off into the woods and two of them tried to stab the third one to death. Another news story, a teen recently walked into his school and began to shoot, murdering a number of his classmates. And tragically, we could go on and on. Where do these children and youth get the ideas and thoughts to do such things? Too often, they receive them from the devil and through the internet and social media, TV and movies. All these things are seeking to disciple children in darkness. Too often, these young people are consuming darkness by the gallon. Some of these youths may attend church sometimes, but many of them, while they consume darkness and put so much negative information and ideas into their minds, may literally rarely, if ever, open a Bible and read it. Parents, without question, we have much work to do in discipling our children. And we have much work to do through the church in reaching youth in our communities. Yet greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We don't have to be fearful. We simply have to trust our Heavenly Father and diligently be about his business. God can work through each of us as parents to help our children greatly in growing up in the faith. Not only can we help them to avoid being victims of this wicked world, but we can also help them to become kingdom warriors. And as kingdom warriors, we can help to bring Christ, the solution to all the world's problems, to a world that desperately needs him. Again, the title of that article is The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy of it to you. Again, the title, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Thank you, Lord, again, for all those that are part of our listening family. Thank you for every parent listening, every grandparent listening, and thank you for every person that works with young people and youth in our culture. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us to become more and more effective vessels in doing the work of evangelizing and discipling our children. Help us to make it the priority you'd have us to make it as the church. And help us to know that this is such serious, serious work. And help us to be faithful about it daily. Thank you for us as the church, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation, to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet, in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you'd anoint every family and every home listening today with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing so that they would have a growing passion to be about the work of really doing the work of discipleship in our homes. Help us as husbands and wives to be wise to disciple and encourage one another in the faith. Help us as dads and moms to be diligent to seek to teach and train our children to read the Word of God aloud to us daily and thus receive the blessings and encouragement that comes from that. And doing the work of discipling them, teaching them to pray, to read your Word, to live your Word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do wish that you could see it all made new. We do. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory?
The music of Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. For the entire 12 years that I was governor of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of the reign of Artaxerxes, neither I nor my officials drew on our official food allowance. The former governors, in contrast, had laid heavy burdens on the people, demanding a daily ration of food and wine, besides 40 pieces of silver. Even their assistants took advantage of the people, but because I feared God, I did not act that way. I also devoted myself to working on the wall and refused to acquire any land, and I required all my servants to spend time working on the wall. I asked for nothing, even though I regularly fed 150 Jewish officials at my table, besides all the visitors from other lands. The provisions I paid for each day included one ox, six choice sheep or goats, and a large number of poultry. And every 10 days we needed a large supply of all kinds of wine. Yet I refused to claim the governor's food allowance because the people already carried a heavy burden. Remember, O my God, all that I've done for these people and bless me for it. Nehemiah chapter 6. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But I realized they were plotting to harm me, so I replied by sending this message to them. I'm engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Four times they sent the same message, and each time I gave the same reply. The fifth time, Sanballat's servant came with an open letter in his hand, and this is what it said. There is a rumor among the surrounding nations, and Geshem tells me, it is true that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you are building the wall. According to his reports, you plan to be their king. He also reports that you have appointed prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim about you, look, there's a king in Judah. You can be very sure that this report will get back to the king, so I suggest that you come and talk it over with me. I replied, There's no truth in any part of your story. You are making the whole thing up. You are making up the whole thing. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination. Later, I went to visit Shemaiah, son of Deliah, and grandson of Mehetabel, who was confined to his home. He said, "Let us meet together inside the temple of God and bolt the doors shut. Your enemies are coming to kill you tonight." But I replied, "Should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it." I realized that God had not spoken to him, but that he had uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. They were hoping to intimidate me and make me sin. Then they would be able to accuse and discredit me. Remember, O my God, all the evil things that Tobiah and Sanballat have done. And remember Noadiah the prophet and all the prophets like her who have tried to intimidate me. So on October 2nd, the wall was finished, just 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized this work had been done with the help of our God. During these 52 days, many letters went back and forth between Tobiah and the nobles of Judah. For many in Judah had sworn allegiance to him because his father-in-law was Shechaniah, son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan was married to the daughter of Meshullam, son of Berechiah. They kept telling me about Tobiah's good deeds, and then they told him everything I said, and Tobiah kept sending threatening letters to intimidate me. Nehemiah chapter 7. After the wall was finished and I had set up the doors in the gates, the gatekeepers, singers, and Levites were appointed. I gave the responsibility of governing Jerusalem to my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the fortress, for he was a faithful man who feared God more than most. I said to them, "Do not leave the gates open during the hottest part of the day, and even while the gatekeepers are on duty, have them shut and bar the doors. Appoint the residents of Jerusalem to act as guards, everyone on a regular watch. Some will serve at sentry posts and some in front of their own homes." At that time, the city was large and spacious, but the population was small, and none of the houses had been rebuilt. So my God gave me the idea to call together all the nobles and leaders of the city, along with the ordinary citizens, for registration. I had found the genealogical record of those who had first returned to Judah. This is what was written there. Here is the list of the Jewish exiles of the provinces who returned from their captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar had deported them to Babylon, but now they returned to Jerusalem and the other towns in Judah where they originally lived. Their leaders were Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Re'eliah, Nehemani, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpar, Bigvai, Rahum, and Baana. This is the number of the men of Israel who returned to exile. This is the number of the men of Israel who had returned from exile. The family of Parosh, 2,172. The family of Parosh, 2,172. The family of Shephatiah, 372. The family of Ara, 652, the family of Pahath Moab, descendants of Jeshua and Joab, 2,818. The family of Elam, 1,254. The family of Zatu, 845. The family of Zakai, 760. The family of Bani, 648. The family of Bebai, 628. The family of Azgad, 2,322. The family of Adonikam, 667. The family of Bigvai, 2,067. The family of Aden, 655. The family of Ater, descendants of Hezekiah, 98. The family of Hashem, 328. The family of Bezai, 324. The family of Jorah, 112. The family of Gibar, 95. The people of Bethlehem and Netophah, 188. The people of Anathoth, 128. The people of Beth Azmaveth, 42. The people of Kiriath Jearim, Kephira, and Beeroth, 743. The people of Ramah and Geba, 621. The people of Michmash, 122. The people of Bethel and Ai, 123. The people of West Nebo, 52. The citizens of West Elam, 1,254. The citizens of Harim, 320. The citizens of Jericho, 345. The citizens of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 721. The citizens of Sanaa, 3,930. These are the priests who returned from exile. The family of Jediah through the line of Jeshua, 973. The family of Immer, 1,052. The family of Pashur, 1,247. The family of Harim, 1,017. These are the Levites who returned from exile. The families of Jeshua and Kadmiel, descendants of Hodaviah, 74. The singers of the family, of Asaph, 148. The gatekeepers of the families of Shalom, Ater, Talmon, Akub, Hatita, and Shobai, 138. The descendants of the following temple servants returned from exile: Ziha, Hasufa, Tabioth, Kiros, Sahai, Padan, Labena, Hagaba, Shalmai, Hanan, Gidel, Gehar, Reiah, Rezin, Nekoda, Gazam, Uza, Pasea, Basai, Meunim, Nefusim, Bakbuk, Hakufa, Harher, Bezluth, Mehida, Harsha, Barkos, Sisera, Tima, Niziah, and Hatifa. The descendants of these servants of King Solomon returned from exile: Sotai, Hasophereth, Peruda, Jeala, Darkon, Gidel, Shephatiah, Hatil, Pokereth, Hazabayim, and Amai. In all, the temple servants and the descendants of Solomon's servants numbered 392. Another group returned at this time from the towns of Tel Melah, Tel Harsha, Kerub, Aden, and Immer. However, they could not prove that they or their families were descendants of Israel. This group included the families of Deliah, Tobiah, and Nekoda, a total of 642 people. Three families of priests, Hobiah, Hakoz, and Barzillai, also returned. This Barzillai had married a woman who was a descendant of Barzillai of Gilead, and he had taken her family name. They searched for their names in the genealogical records, but they were not found, so they were disqualified from serving as priests. The governor told them not to eat the priest's share of food from the sacrifices until a priest could consult the Lord about the matter by using the Urim and Thummim, the sacred lots. Verses 1 to 65, Nehemiah chapter 7. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back. Dunson Oyakhan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading in the New Testament in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. One day the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. He replied, "You know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah." Then Jesus left them and went away. Later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered that they had forgotten to bring any bread. "Watch out," Jesus warned them. "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "You have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with five loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with seven loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast in bread, but about the deceptive teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit? And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Matthew chapter 17. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him." The disciples were terrified and fell face down to the ground. Then Jesus came over and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. As they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Then his disciples asked him, "Why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes?" Jesus replied, "Elijah is indeed coming first to get everything ready. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, but he wasn't recognized, and they chose to abuse him. And in the same way, they will also make the Son of Man suffer." Then the disciples realized he was talking about John the Baptist. At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Jesus said, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out that demon?" You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." After they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead." And the disciples were filled with grief. On their arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," Peter replied. Then he went into the house. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, "What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered?" "They tax the people they have conquered," Peter replied. "Well then," Jesus said, "the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them. So go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us." End of Matthew chapter 17. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you for the chance for us to read it each and every day. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Anoint each and every one of us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us to be believers that are faithful to read your word each and every day, to read 3 chapters on a daily basis, and help us as parents to have our children to read 3 chapters aloud to us each and every day. And Father, more and more, help us to grow an understanding of the wisdom of filling our homes with your word and your Spirit and mercy. Guide us, Lord, in even doing things such as decorating our homes with the word, and help us to be wise enough to make good use of audio Bibles to where we're listening and allowing the word of God in audio form to supplement our Bible reading. But help us to know, Lord, that as we consume your word, as we take time to read and meditate on it each and every day, it blesses us, ministers to our mind, body, and spirit. It's medicine to our mind, body, and spirit, and does so, so much good. Help us to make time in your word the high priority you would have us to make it in our lives, and help us to never get so busy that we don't, help us to never put anything before you or your word. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As always, we do appreciate you being a part of our listening family. And again, if you don't have the habit of reading 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a great day to start that very, very important habit. Parents, today's a good day to have your children Start reading 3 chapters aloud to you daily as well. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day and a great day to be saved. Would you from your heart pray this prayer with us now and fully commit your heart and life to the Lord? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all our sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, we're calling on your name. Lord, save us. Fill us with your spirit. Help us to follow you all our life. Help us to read your word daily. Help us to pray daily. Help us to live your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you did pray and commit your life to Christ, we definitely want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to be in touch with you and want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please do get in touch again. That email, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. If you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared earlier, the title of the article, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children, we'll be glad to get that to you. Same email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Get that to you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.